This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Well, folks, what a time to be alive. Oh my God, after months of memes and hype and chatter, Barbenheimer finally lands at cinemas this weekend as Barbie and, yes, Oppenheimer are unleashed upon the world. Forget all that Blur versus Oasis nonsense. Absolute crap. This is pop bangers versus Radiohead. And then again, it's not even versus. This is not about going against each other, but yes, complimenting each other. But then wait, you think that's all? Not a feckin' chance, because streaming just rocked up and said, hold my beer, and amongst many crackers dropping this weekend, The Bear Season 2 is upon us. So should that be Barbenheim Bear? No, stop it. And wait, there's a new Blur album? What? Barbenheim Blur? Okay, I'll just shut up now. Because we need to get on to one of the most significant weeks of entertainment I've seen since we started this wee little podcast almost a year ago. Memories, people, memories. So, shall we begin?
We're in a race against the Nazis. And I know what it means. If the Nazis have a bomb,
we have a 12-month head start.
18.
How could you possibly know that?
We've got one hope.
All America's industrial might and scientific innovation connected here.
A secret laboratory. Keep everyone there until it's done.
Let's go recruit some scientists.
And yes, we can only start in one place, and that is cinema this week. And Oppenheimer, fear not people, as you know, these are all non-spoiler reviews, so there'll be no spoilers at all. None. Christopher Nolan's epic biographical thriller, Oppenheimer, lands in cinemas on, yes, the biggest screens possible. And is everything and more. Based on the book American Prometheus and starring Cillian Murphy in the lead role, this is a stunning and sensational piece of work from Nolan. The movie is 3 hours long, and you know what? Who gives a crap? Because it's a fascinating, engaging, and gobsmackingly beautiful study of the creation of the atomic bomb by J. Robert Oppenheimer and his crew of scientists. With a stellar supporting cast, of whom Robert Downey Jr., Emily Blunt, and Matt Damon are fantastic, and yeah, they're the standouts. This movie needs to be seen in cinemas, and yes, I say it again, on the biggest screen possible. It's kind of a movie of three acts and is a bit more coherent than some of Nolan's recent works. No mumbling, thank you very much. And even though there's some minor time jumps that may throw you, this is a pure visual feast with some of the finest acting I've ever seen in a Nolan movie, both from the leads and even those feckers who rock up for a minute or two to steal a scene. Florence Pugh's character feels like the only one who kind of gets shortchanged, and there's some decisions that Nolan made that kind of feel out kilter with the rest of the movie. But that is the minorest gripe possible. Minorest? Anyway. Cillian Murphy is the star and centrepiece of the movie, and what a performance. An absolutely game changer for him. And Robert Downey Jr., well, he should start clearing a space on his mantelpiece for some shiny trinkets that are bound to come his way. Bladder control may be required for the duration of the movie, but you will not be disappointed. In a summer of box office disappointments, as I mentioned, July felt like when the grown-ups were entering the building, and this intelligent, jaw-droppingly impressive film is cinema at its best. Loved it. Seen it twice already, and you know what? I might go again. That's Oppenheimer, now in cinemas.
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool. You can find me under the lights, diamonds under my eyes.
the best day ever.
It is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. You guys ever think about dying?
Just in case this next part feels slightly out of sync with the rest of the pod, we are now recording in the early hours of Friday morning, post-screening of Barbie, and post, yes, a glass or maybe two of rosé, which has helped me break down what I recently just witnessed at the Lighthouse Cinema. Following the dark, moody and heavy weight that was the Oppenheimer experience, we have now moved towards the light. A bright, shining, glowing light that has a pink tint. Greta Gerwig's Barbie finally lands on our screens and brings all the feminism and, yes, all the patriarchy vibes in its tow. Definitely, definitely not a kids' movie, and you gotta give credit to Mattel for allowing Gerwig to absolutely run amok on one of their biggest brands. And not always positive running amok. This movie is part Zoolander, part Anchorman, with a dash of The Truman Show. Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling as Barbie and Ken are the obvious standouts and carry this movie through any dips it may have. They are absolutely fantastic. There's also a really fun and impressive supporting cast with Kate McKinnon, Michael Cera, America Ferrera and Simu Liu as the obvious standouts. So here's the thing. The sensational marketing campaign for this movie has been the main reason it has grown exponentially from intriguing summer box office release to one of the summer smash hits. But the problem here is, if you have been paying attention to that campaign and devouring all the details and all the stuff, a lot of the big gags have already been revealed and ultimately will fall a bit flat in the finished version that you see on screen. Barbie Land is quite beautiful and has all the Oscar nominations written all over it. Also, Ryan Gosling's prog rock I'm Just Ken must be the front runner now for best song. When it hits and is very, very funny. But for me, it just didn't hit that level enough. And there were plenty of lulls within the movie. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Because if you're invested in this movie, I would highly recommend a bottle of vino with your mates or a few beers. And you know what? Go have an absolute ball. And no, this is not Sex and the City, the movie, where it's a largely female audience. This has something for everyone. I just wished I loved it more. I wanted to, but alas, I didn't. Oh, sad times. But you know what it does have? An absolutely banging soundtrack, which you will appreciate to the heights. For me, Indigo Girls, you complete me. Anyways, who gives a crap? Because nothing is going to stop folks rocking into this movie. It's the water cooler movie of the weekend, along with our friend Oppie. It's going to be amazingly successful, and Gerwig deserves all the credit for flipping what could have been a generic toy movie into a global phenomenon. For us all, this weekend, cinema is the winner. Barbenheimer has delivered on his promise and put bums on all the seats. You'll be lucky if you can find a seat. And that is something we can all get behind. Woohoo! Team cinema! So there you go, cinema. Again, what a time to be alive. You go enjoy that madness. And when you come home, remember, streaming is ready to deliver you to the promised land. Oh my God, what a place to be.
This is coming from a place of wanting to start fresh and clean.
This is going to be a destination spot.
We drafted a quick term sheet.
We need more money.
Will you turn that thing off, please?
How's it not making you insane?
I don't mind it.
It's a facelift, it's not a gun.
Barry, it is a facelift and a gun.
It's gonna take 6 months to open.
6 months?
That's being...
what, confident?
Cocky.
Crazy.
Not in any way to be outdone by cinemas this week. Streaming sees season 2 of The Bear finally land on Disney Plus and follows Carmi, Sydney and Richie as they work to transform their grimy sandwich joint into a next level high-end spot in Chicago. As they strip the restaurant down to its bones, the crew undertake transformational journeys of their own, and we, as viewers, are all the better for it. As you know, I, like many others, was obsessed with The Bear Season 1, which literally came out of nowhere and blew all our minds. Well, have I got news for you. Season 2 is even better. holy crap. In fact, it's next level shit. I mean, this stuff, after a first season filled with all the stress, and yes, chef, season two slowly gets us back in touch with the characters whom we've grown to love, almost as if they are family. The show's trick, really, for me, is how invested you become in these characters, and not just the lead. It's the treatment of everyone across the board, no matter how big or small their part. It's both heartwarming and heartbreaking. Oh. And in this season, while we are slowly brought back into the fold for the first five episodes, just, you know, getting the vibe back, getting back in the groove from episode six onwards, holy crap, it goes turbocharged and the show becomes an unstoppable force. There are some truly impressive cameos throughout the series that, while blowing your mind, also fit the vibe of the show and are not just there for showing off sake. If you have not watched this show yet, what do you do with your life? Get on it as soon as you can. And if you are a fan, clear the decks. Hey, maybe schedule it in between your Barbenheimer double bill break and make this the weekend of all weekends. The Bear, Season 2, now on Disney+. This, people, is what TV is all about. This truly is perfection. No hyperbole, just facts.
Are you close?
Closer than we've ever been.
Contract agent or a lioness?
Lioness, sir.
We locate the wives and daughters of these high-value targets.
You made it!
Told you I was coming.
And we place an operative close to them. And we kill the target.
If we play this right, it is over before it's begun.
There's really no means to abort.
We'll get her killed and expose the entire program.
Our asset is embedded. We don't have the ability to call her off.
We move now!
Her cover's low!
It's that core! Shoot out!
Special Ops Lioness on Paramount Plus has absolutely nothing to do with the English Women's World Cup football team. Nothing to do with Mel C and all her crew at Hope FC who released the single Call Me a Lioness. No, nothing to do with that, despite the fact the Women's World Cup is now on and there for your pleasure. This is a series from Yellowstone creator Taylor Sheridan. And yes, it's another new show from the man who just won't stop making shows. It's kind of ridiculous. What's important is this one drops on Sunday, July 23rd, and it dramatizes a real-life CIA program to train female undercover operatives. Zoe Saldana stars as Jo, a CIA operator working during the War on Terror, who recruits a young Marine, played by Laisla de Oliveira, to infiltrate a terrorist organization. She is joined on the Lioness program by Nicole Kidman and Michael Kelly, who play her superiors, and Morgan Freeman, yes, of course, who plays the US president. Can I just give a shout out to Michael Kelly? If you Google shady government operative, his face will definitely come up. Having just finished the final season of Jack Ryan last week, here he goes again. You just gotta love it. This one is receiving massive hype and a huge promotional push from Paramount Plus. Hell, I've even seen it advertised on Dublin buses. What? And this one, can I just say, it's not the new The 355, because that was a piece of crap. This one actually looks like a cracking show for fans of Jack Ryan and comes highly recommended, and kind of with perfect timing now that Jack Ryan has departed into the sunset. That's Special Ops Lioness on Paramount Plus from Sunday, July 23rd.
I know who you are.
You are two wins away from your first Grand Slam title.
I know what happened to you. Something like that is really hard to recover from.
Some people are hard to recover from.
Like Glenn Lathorn?
No, stop.
I'm so sorry, Justine, but we have to close this chapter.
15 Love lands on Prime Video just as Wimbledon leaves our sitting rooms. Aidan Turner stars as a tennis coach in the six-part drama which follows former player Justine, played by Irish newcomer Ella Lily Hyland, 5 years after a life-changing injury forced her to give up the sport. As she unleashes some explosive allegations against her former coach, who is now coaching a new young tennis prospect, the drama unfolds as the layers of what actually occurred are slowly revealed. Seeing both these Irish stars going head to head in this gripping drama should be intriguing enough for most people. And again, in a week of strong content dropping, this is another standout pick. That is 15 Love, now on Prime Video.
All right, Steph, ready?
Stephen Curry, do not rely on him to run your team.
He's about 5'6".
Looks like a little kid.
150 pounds, soaking wet.
That was when I first really understood. I'm different. How did I get here? I was the undersized, scrawny kid that was just trying to figure out how to make it.
Steph Curry is hurt.
I was overwhelmed by everything. How would I respond? Let the work begin.
For those NBA and basketball fans out there, Stephen Curry, underrated on Apple TV Plus, is a story of one of the most influential, dynamic, and unexpected players in the history of basketball. This feature documentary, which blends archival footage and on-camera interviews, documents Curry's rise from an undersized college player at a small-town Division I college to a four-time NBA champion. Another week, another sports documentary, and yes, it has me at hello. That's Stephen Curry, underrated, now on Apple TV Plus. And speaking of sports ball, two brilliant sporting documentaries brought to us by Irish directors which previously had cinema releases are also worth flagging this week. As I mentioned last week, following its brief run in cinemas, Laura McGann's visually stunning look at the world of free diving in The Deepest Breath is now streaming on Netflix, so you must 1,000,000,000% take a look at that because it's absolutely fantastic. While also on RTE1 on Monday the 24th, Million Dollar Pigeon from Gavin Fitzgerald looks at the world of competitive pigeon racing and all the shenanigans and sketchy goings on that started to happen once big money started to roll in. That one is on Monday the 24th at 9:35, so set your recorders to stun for RTE1. And yes, Wacker truly would have loved that one. So that's two box office sports documentaries brought to us by some fantastic Irish talent. The Deepest Breath, now on Netflix, and Million Dollar Pigeon, which is showing on RT1 on Monday the 24th.
What kind of shit is this?
Like I'm in the Twilight Zone
now. Don't let the back door hit you.
We gotta go.
I don't know what that was, but that wasn't me.
Somebody is conducting experiments on us.
It's in the fucking chicken.
The shit in everything.
Chicken dragon. Great try. Come the fuck out.
In the new sci-fi mystery comedy They Cloned Tyrone on Netflix, John Boyega, Jamie Foxx and Tiona Paris star as a trio of misfits who uncover a series of eerie events that put them on the trail of a nefarious government conspiracy. No, Michael Kelly is not involved. Jewel Taylor, who wrote Creed 2, writes and directs this pretty insane looking homage to the blaxploitation movies of the 1970s, and I'm not going to lie, it looks bloody fantastic. I'm all in, yet again. Bail me in with a fantastic soundtrack and some fashion choices that would rival even Barbie this weekend. They Cloned Tyrone is now on Netflix. Also out this week is Sweet Magnolias Season 3. Sweet what now? For those who care, and I am not included in that group, Sweet Magnolias lands on Netflix for its third season. Yes, a show I didn't even know had two previous seasons. But hey, it's not my jam. I'll stick with Steel Magnolias. That is Sweet Magnolias Season 3, now on Netflix.
Here's what I know about grief. It hits in waves. And you just don't know when it's going to happen.
Had a dream about you, baby.
Wynonna wanted to give Naomi one more run around the sun.
We're touring together.
Had a dream.
The anticipation of this tour was huge. I mean, the fan base was beyond excited to see them sing together again.
I knew something was wrong. I just knew it. When she got on stage and she looked at me with that look and I went, oh my gosh, she's in trouble.
Winona Judd's Between Hell and Hallelujah on Paramount Plus is a glimpse into Winona Judd's life as she bravely embarks on her next chapter and tour following her mother, Naomi Judd's untimely passing. This is a moving and intimate look at how one person deals with grief, both in a personal way, but also in a public way through her concerts with the help of some of her country music friends. A tough watch, but also quite beautiful. Winona Judd, Between Hell and Hallelujah, is now on Paramount Plus. Finally this week on the Telebox, or wherever you get your streaming entertainment, we should definitely highlight two big international events which are occurring both this week and for the next month. First up, as mentioned earlier, we have the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, which began on Thursday in Auckland, New Zealand and Sydney, Australia. It runs for a month and ends August 20th. Sadly, the girls in green, sad times. The Republic of Ireland were just beaten by the Australians 1-0 in their opening game, but they did put in a pretty impressive performance, especially in the second half. But Roy Keane won't be happy with that. Oh, loss is a loss, he says. But I think it was a glorious, victorious loss. It's the Olympic champions Canada next on Wednesday at noon, and the favourites for the tournament are currently the US, followed by England, Germany, Spain and France. Obviously, RTE have all the matches showing, so if you're missing your footy and sports ball fix, why not bail in? Especially when it gets to those knockout phases. Oh yeah, love me a bit of knockout. Also this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con time, which finds itself in a very weird state of flux. As we mentioned before and last week, it has no stars attending due to the strike. However, over on YouTube and online, there'll be plenty of hoopla and breaking nerdy news to sink your teeth into. So keep an eye out for any reveals. And that is us for the week on streaming. As I mentioned, some absolute crackers out there. Bail in, enjoy. And just in case you thought it was a quiet week in music, well, you should think again. I'm a shining light in your eyes. You probably shine it back on me, but I won't fall this time. We've got speed, our heat designs. And first up, we have Blur, The Ballad of Darren, which is their 9th studio album and their first album in 8 years. Now, after spending the summer rocking out in joint venues across Europe and joint fields too, they finish off that tour with the release of this brand new shiny album. Definitely much more chill and introspective than you might expect. Leaning into the ballad vibe of the album's title, it's definitely one that you'll be plugging into your ears and hitting repeat for the next few months. So for all you Blur heads out there, yes, exciting stuff. That is Blur, The Ballad of Darren, which is now streaming. And if chilled introspective music is not your jam this week, well. About Pure Sugar, because Barbie the album, the official soundtrack, my Jesus, produced by Mark Ronson, this has an absolutely insane lineup of talent on this. So you've Demi Lovato, Charlie XCX, Billie Eilish, Haim, Sam Smith, Lizzo, Dua Lipa, Nicki Minaj, and of course good old Ken himself, Ryan Gosling. Absolute box office. You'll be bouncing off the walls as if you've been eating Sour Patch Kids for a week. That's Barbie, the album, which is now also streaming. And that's your music. Such a... it's just an interesting week. Crazy times! Right, three things in pop culture this week that caught our eye. Well, there's only one thing to talk about. And that is Hollywood is now officially in disarray, as the studios and streamers have dug in deep and are at war with both the writers and now the actors who have joined the strike. So, in my usual Peter and Jane style, here's my very basic observations of where we're at. As I've mentioned before, there are two main sticking points to this whole shebang, the first of which is residuals. What are residuals? This, historically, is the money some writers and actors and other people on set earned when a work is reused, such as when a movie lands on a streaming platform, is released on DVD, or airs on cable TV. So they get checks like every year till the end of time. But with streaming all over the gaff now, and streaming numbers not being shared by streamers themselves, these paychecks have been lost to the ether. Also, if you worked on a piece of muck series that nobody watched, or a smash hit, say, like Wednesday on Netflix, success was not rewarded because you just get paid the same. So it's all a bit sketchy, if you ask me. The second bone of contention is our good old friend AI. The Actors Guild have actually declared that studios want extras to come in for a day, get themselves rendered digitally, and then sign over the rights to their image from here to eternity and allow them to use it over and over again in that project or any other project. But alas, just pay them for that one day's work. What? It's not a good look, people. It's not a good look. And I'm fairly certain now that my initial observation that September or beyond for a resolution seems still to be the course we are set on, because studios are digging their heels in. So for us, I know you're asking, maybe you're not, what does this mean? Streaming, cinema, we are a very demanding bunch who want to be entertained. Entertain us! Well, we've probably got about 6 more months before it all goes to pot. What then? Well, don't be surprised if some autumn movies or series move into the 2024 schedule to fill the gaps, which will now most likely appear. And if you are hoping to see Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, Deadpool 3, Gladiator 2, White Lotus, Stranger Things 5, or even Wicked. If you're hoping to see them next year, depending on how quick a resolution is reached, you may be waiting a whole lot longer. Eek! Ooh. Anyways, as I said, Peter and Jane's Hollywood strike update is now officially over. The chances of getting another insane box office weekend of content dropping all over the gaff like we did this week next year looks even more unlikely now. Sketchy, stressful times ahead for all. In which case, you know what you gotta do. You gotta embrace this weekend, people. It's a thing of beauty, a special occasion that deserves the hype and to be embraced wholeheartedly. So wherever you end up, whatever path you choose, enjoy the absolute beautiful madness. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. In the house. Well, hello there, post-credit wanderer. How are we doing? Welcome yet again to the Thunderdome. Yes, I hear you. I see you looking for more hidden gems or nuggets or whatever the hell they are in the afterlife of the pod. And, well, we've got them for you. Well, do we really? Well, you can let me know. Send me a strongly worded email at some point. Because this week, with the whole Barbie thing kicking off worldwide, let's discuss IPs. In the past 10, 15 years, intellectual properties on the big screen have mainly been dominated by superhero movies. But in the last few years, there's been a bit of a pushback against these kind of movies. Not from comic book fans, but from non-comic book heads who had initially bailed in for the crack, but now have gone bored. I'm bored now. But you know what I say? A great movie will always attract all audiences. Just look at Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. A muck movie? Folks will say, well, feck that. I'll wait for streaming. So, my question or thought process this week is, what will or what is Hollywood going to veer towards now that superhero movies have kind of lost their luster? Kel Surprise, it's back, the video game industry, after years of attempted Hollywood adaptations, seems to have finally figured something out. TV series like The Last of Us or movies like Super Mario Bros. Have changed the game. Gaming studios and Hollywood are now working together, not separately, and it's seen some of the biggest hits in recent memory. Nintendo already sneakily lining up another two or three releases, Zelda, obviously more Mario, while in the pipeline we have Five Nights at Freddy's, Twisted Metal, and Gran Turismo. I'm still a bit sketchy on Gran Turismo, but could be amazing. Yes, there'll be some misses, I'm looking at you GT, but now that they're working coherently together rather than just signing over rights means less of a chance of an absolute stinker. I know. Famous last words. The other big IP area, interestingly enough, has to do with another big release that is expected to do very well this weekend, and that is the game and toy industry. Board game, should I say. Because brands like Mattel, as proven with Barbie and Greta Gerwig, are no longer so protective of their brands and are letting directors, some very interesting directors, make inspired choices which may not have been allowed before. As toy manufacturers have witnessed the madness surrounding Barbie and its upcoming release, gone are the days of colour-by-number adaptations. Ah, Battleship. Do you remember Battleship? Apart from that one burrito scene, which was the funniest thing I've ever seen, it was not very good at all. Not very good. But now, incoming, we have some ridiculous possibilities. We have maybe J.J. Abrams doing Hot Wheels, Vin Diesel doing Rock'em Sock'em Robots, what? Daniel Kaluuya doing a very stressful adult Barney, and Tom Hanks taking the lead as Major Matt Mason, who, well, he's a big toy in America, seemingly, but also he was the toy that supposedly inspired Buzz Lightyear. So while superheroes reboot their multiverses and attempt to get their mojo and audiences back, it's time to prepare for an influx of toys, games and gaming IPs. Who knows, maybe Buckaroo the Western. Oh, yeehaw! Or Hungry Hippos, A Twisted Tale of Terror. Or simply Operation, a torture porn Eli Roth spin-off. There you go now. Interesting times ahead. I'll wander off now. Good to see you. Take care. Soft day, thank God.